The reading this morning comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 18 to 27, future glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. This is the word of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. How's everyone feeling this morning? Good? Well, that sounds promising. I might get to me shortly. Any of us feeling a bit blah or depressed, struggling in our faith, or any of us just downright kaput? There's not too many hands going up, at least. So, if you were, and I think there might be one or two of us, have I got good news for you? Because the Bible has a whole lot to say about us if we do happen to be feeling that way. So stay tuned. But the secret is, the good news today is also for those who are feeling great. So let's all stay tuned. In our reading from Romans 8, Paul speaks about those who are struggling in life and faith, feeling blah, even the very worst. He talks a whole lot there about groaning. Ever have that experience? Maybe even having a bit of it right now? Now, this is talking about the experience of being squashed in life, when we feel like we've been sort of thrown in the dust and there's a big fat boot on our neck holding us down. And this might be when someone we love has died and we're going through grief, or when illness or disability has crushed us, or when others, even maybe friends, have turned on us and attacked us, or when we perhaps lost a job and income. Or it can even be we ourselves who are against us. That is, when we muck up our own lives through our weaknesses and our foibles. And at these times it can feel like our faith and our relationship with God can be almost non-existent. Like our spiritual well is bone dry and we've hit rock bottom. And then prayer can seem almost to evaporate. You know, we try and pray, but it's just like a kind of big lump in our throat. And the best we can do might be just a kind of cracked, broken, "Help, God." I've prayed that prayer. And I'm sure many of us have at times. And Paul's certainly describing that experience in our reading when he says, We do not know how to pray as we ought. I've called today's sermon Prayer for Duds and Warriors. So whether we're a spiritual dud or a spiritual warrior, we can all pray an equally powerful and effective prayer. In fact, wherever we are on the dud warrior spectrum, every one of us can pray the most powerful prayer in the universe. So let's see how that is. To begin with, we need to see a secret in what Paul is saying here. When he says that we do not know how to pray, he's not just talking about those who are unbelievers, nor just those who struggle in their Christian faith. He's talking about every single one of us. Paul includes here everyone from the godless right through to the greatest saint. Indeed, Paul is including himself in this. Paul called himself the least of all believers. So if you're a struggling Christian, take heart. Saint Paul considered himself worse than you. No human being on earth knows, that is, has the wherewithal, the moral purity and strength, the faith, the spiritual power to approach the King of the universe, his almightiness, his burning holiness, and rightly, effectively ask him to do something for them. Paul certainly knew that he didn't have the wherewithal for that. He said in another place that he was the worst of sinners. In Romans 8, Paul is saying that not one single human being knows how to pray in a right way. Oh, except one human being, and that is Jesus Christ. And we'll come back to him. But apart from that one exception, not one human being knows how to pray. Now, that also means that if we do think that we can acquit ourselves pretty well before God, we might need to think again. You see, the Christians who seem to have it all together, who pray eloquently, spiritually powerful prayers, are in exactly the same position as the greatest strugglers. As I said, my title today is Prayer for Duds and Warriors, but to paraphrase Paul in Romans 3:23, all are duds. Now, before we react thinking, oh, this is just all so negative, telling us all that we're weak and sinners. No, 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 this is an essential part of the good news. Because the Bible says that let the weak say, I am strong. And God says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. It's only in knowing that we are essentially weak that the full power of God is given to us, works in us and through us. So power in prayer or in any other part of the Christian life is never our accomplishment. It's only ever God's gift of grace to us who are weak. You know, at times people have told me that they're victorious Christians or prayer warriors. And, you know, I've had to say, settle down, settle down. I mean, we certainly experience victory as Christians in all sorts of things. And we can all pray powerful, effective prayer. But none of that is our doing. It's like Paul said in another place, I worked harder than any of them, although it was not me, but God's grace at work in me. So the same applies to prayer. It's only when we know that none of us are able to pray that the true power of God can work effectively in and through our weak prayers. So how does that happen? Paul says, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know how we ought to pray, but the very Spirit intercedes for us. So you see, precisely where where our weakness is, there the strength of God is at work to help and bless. You know, when we intercede for someone, we just did it a few minutes ago, we pray for someone, pray for them. So the Holy Spirit prays for us. It's a pretty good deal, isn't it? To have the Holy Spirit praying for you, you can't get much better than that. And it says there that the Spirit of God searches our hearts. So there we are in life, groaning. And we might not be able to get out in prayer what's going on inside us. You know, maybe we mightn't even really know ourselves what's going on inside us. To us, sometimes we can be just a confused mess. But that doesn't matter. Because the Spirit of God is there with us and He searches the depths of our hearts. He knows exactly what's going on in us, what we're thinking, what we're feeling, whether it's pain or joy, and He understands us exactly better than we understand ourselves. We are never a confused mess to the Holy Spirit. And He perfectly interprets our deepest, greatest needs. And He intercedes for us. He gathers up all our needs in His true prayer to God the Father for us. And the Father hears those prayers and He responds with love and mercy. You know, it's fascinating that it says the Spirit intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. Sighs too deep for words. And the phrase that's translated there, sighs too deep for words in verse 26, is the same Greek word that's translated in verse 23 as groan. The Holy Spirit groans. So there's an awful lot of groaning going on here. So who's groaning? Is it us or is it the Holy Spirit? The answer is yes. You see, the two are one. We groan in life, but the Holy Spirit surrounds and gathers up our life within His deep prayer. His groaning to God the Father for us. Do you see what that means? As we trust in Jesus Christ and as we cry out to the Father, our suffering, every broken fragment of our lives is gathered up in the Spirit's prayer to the Father for us, and in the end we'll be healed through and through. In a previous church, we had a dear elderly lady in the congregation called Mary, and she was a vivacious lady and a bit of a social butterfly and a great talker. She had a stroke and wasn't able to talk properly anymore. And a friend of hers visited her with me at the hospital not long after she'd had the stroke. And Mary and her friend had been thick as thieves all their lives and very vocal Crows fans. And Mary just lay there, and you could see in her eyes that she was full of thoughts that she was just busting to get out and couldn't. She could only make a few inarticulate sounds, a few groans. All three of us were in tears. I read the very passage we've read today from Romans 8. And I spoke to them just very briefly about the Spirit's promise to be with us in our inability to get out what is really within us, our pain, our groaning, our tears, and to graciously take it up within his own perfect prayer to God, our Father, where he hears and responds in infinite grace and love and mercy. And Mary's face kind of softened, and you could detect even just the hint of a smile. And her tears became tears of joy and peace. It was fascinating that just a few verses later in Romans 8, Paul tells us that not only is the Holy Spirit interceding for us, Jesus Christ is as well. He says there, "Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Jesus Christ who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ?" The Greek word that's translated groan in Romans 8 is a very strong word. And it actually means a kind of death groan. It was used in Greek literature to speak of hacked up soldiers lying on the battlefield. And at the point of his dying, the Gospels tell us that Jesus cried out the deepest of death groans. He stood in our shoes, taking on all our brokenness and sin, the whole extremity of our human groaning. And he suffered it out to the last drop in death. And he did this in unspeakably great love for us in order to pay for and to cancel and forgive our sins forever and to reconcile us to God and to take away and heal all of our brokenness and groaning. And this assures us that our sins are forgiven and that we, in all of our need and groaning, are acceptable and loved and embraced by God the Father. And that Jesus Christ himself is interceding for us. He's on our side. He's gunning for us. And therefore nothing can separate us from God's love in him. And raised now from the dead, as eternal Lord, he will keep interceding for us forever. So who's interceding, praying for us? Is it the Holy Spirit or is it Jesus Christ? The answer is yes. Again, it has to be both of them at once, of course. Jesus and the Spirit are one with each other and they always act together in their love for the world and us. There couldn't be one of them praying without the other one praying at the same time. Man, that's one heck of a prayer team we've got praying for us. We can't lose. So let's see the picture of how this all works. The Holy Spirit searches the depths of our hearts. He knows it all. He gathers up our prayers. You know, whether they're eloquent and confident prayers, or whether they're stumbling and broken prayers, full of doubt and fear, he nonetheless lifts them all up and he combines them with the Son's perfect prayer before God the Father, so that they become one with his prayer. And we pray, good, bad, or ugly, and the Father sees and hears them as his Son's perfect prayer. And he responds with a heart overflowing with mercy and grace. That's what's going on every time we pray. That's the only true kind of Christian prayer there is. But this still isn't quite the end of what we have to see here, because Jesus said, not only are we in him, he is in us. So Jesus is before the Father in heaven, offering the most perfect prayer to him, and at the same time, he is also here with us, in us, sharing his prayer with us, actually putting his words within our lips. Not only are we praying in Jesus, Jesus is actually praying in us. Now let's jump back to where we started. How you feeling today? Good? Bad? Kaput? Doesn't matter. Now tell me, are you able to pray? Yes, you are. I don't care if you are half or almost dead. You are able to pray because you're not praying out of yourself or out of your own resources. You're praying in the Holy Spirit and in Jesus, the Lord, and out of their resources, which just happen to be infinite. Jan Paderewski is a world-acclaimed Polish pianist. And at a major recital of his, a woman was attending with her very young son. They were sitting near the front. And in the before-the-concert buzz, she got talking to a friend and after a while turned to look for a son who was nowhere to be seen. And she was in a panic. Then suddenly the curtain started to draw back, revealing her little son sitting at the grand piano playing his favourite music, Twinkle Twinkle. And before she could retrieve him, she noticed Paderewski walking onto the stage. Paderewski motioned silence to the audience, mother aghast. Paderewski came up behind the little boy from behind and whispered, "Keep playing." Then Paderewski sat beside him and proceeded for the next 5 minutes to play the most spellbinding music surrounding the little boy's playing. That may just be the word of the Spirit to us right now. Keep playing. Or keep praying. It may seem like we are playing just a simple, very slight little tune. But Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Father can weave the most amazing, beautiful music or prayer or life all around us. The Bible says that we have all received grace upon grace. What are you and I going to do then? Laugh? Cry? Both at once? That's about the size of it, I think. And pray. Amen.